And we certainly praising God for our dear honoree today, the other part of our honoree duo today, Ella Sister Karen Liverman. You will hear now, according to God and His goodness, more, much of the gospel of the grace of God. We thank you for being here, and we praise God for what you're going to hear right now. Let's receive Ella Sister Karen Liverman with a hearty amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good every day. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give Him a praise. Hallelujah. God is good every day. Every day. We are blessed with our great crowd today. We thank the Lord for sending you all to us. We're also addressing our World Wide Web audience, those that are hearing us on the Internet. We're thanking God for you as well. If you'd be so kind to bow your head for a word of prayer, I'd appreciate it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before the foundation of the world, He was the Lamb slain before the foundation, before time. Hallelujah. In times eternal. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for blessing us to come out today. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is here to give us hearing ears and seeing eyes that we may behold the mysteries of the doctrines of the gospel of the grace of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we leave here, we realize it's not about us, but it's all about you. And Father, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored, and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Did you know it's not about us? It is all about Him and His finished work. Well, guys, when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from. Deacon, would you please be so kind, and those of you that have Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Yeah, I'm anchored there. Yeah, I start off there because many of you, either here or those in the audience worldwide, might not understand that what you believe about salvation shapes your entire life. If you think you can do something or must do something to be saved, you're going to think you got to do something to stay saved. And we all know, if we look into the mirror, that we all ain't right all the time. Matter of fact, most of us right. Not most of the time, you know. So as a result of that, we think that we can lose salvation, that we have been backslidden or something has come to trip us up and God is mad at us. But that's not true. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, the King James as well as the Greek interlinear, please.
Again, we are reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, first from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will.
And now the Greek?
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and the Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as He chose us in Him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before Him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to Him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Do you know it was God's will that you be part of the body of Christ? You didn't just find Jesus. How did that happen? It happened because in eternity before time, he loved us so much that he sent Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation, to die for us. Notice verse 4. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love. You know, a lot of times we get holiness mixed up. We think holiness is keeping the Sabbath. We think holiness is not smoking or drinking. We think holiness is wearing a type of garment. You know, you don't wear your toes out, or you don't wear pants, or you don't do what you don't do, you don't do. In times past, we were told that that was what holiness is, but it's not. All of the above are physical things. They're passing. They're temporal. They're subject to change. You know, I went to a church when I first started going there back in the early 70s. We couldn't wear pants, and we couldn't go to the movie house. Yeah, couldn't go to the movie house. I said, well, why can't we go to the movies? I like movies. They said, well, you know, you'd be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Yeah, they said, you'd be sitting in the seat of the scornful. They didn't take into account that when you go to the doctor, when you ride on a school bus or public transportation, you ride on a plane or a train, you're still sitting in the seat of the scornful. But I guess they thought it was just the scornful at the movie house. So it was all a list of rules of things you couldn't do and couldn't say, or, you know, how you dress. You know, I talked about it before. All the ladies had long dresses. The men had on bright ties and nice suits. You know, they were looking all spiffy, and the ladies looked like something the cat drug in, just all plain jeans, long sleeve, cotton stockings, didn't have their hair done, no makeup. Do you know they didn't wear makeup? You know, everybody need a little help sometime. Oh, yeah, yeah. A barn need a coat of paint. Yeah, everybody need a little help. And you know, when I got liberated, and, you know, the Holy Spirit liberated me, because my husband came home one day, he said, you know what? He said, I love you, but you're just too plain. I said, too plain? I got to thinking. My husband was selling pharmaceuticals, and he was dealing with all them pretty nurses and doctors and assistants, and they all had their face made up. I ought to have gone out that night, but it was nighttime. Yeah, I got me some Mary Kay. Yeah, I started kind of pimping it up, you know, bringing it up another level. And guess what? You know, I got attacked. The saints told me, oh, Sister Liverman, you know, we don't want you to backslide. You got to look holy and look safe. I said, well, you know, my husband likes this. They said, well, you know, and they got thinking, now, they had run their husband off. Maybe they had put some on. They'd have kept theirs, you know. They all, you know, all in the missionaries and didn't have nobody. You know, so now they're trying to run mine off. Thank God we've been at it 40 years. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Then they told me, they said, well, could you just leave off the eye makeup? I said, he especially likes the eye makeup. You know, but what I'm saying all that to say is, that does not have anything to do with your salvation. It doesn't have anything to do with who you are in Christ. It has nothing to do with the finished work of Jesus in eternity before the foundation of the world, when he elected you to be part of the body of Christ. So we have to get that right. We, the body of Christ, are holy and without blame through imputation, or the act that God ascribes or reckons his righteousness, where he balances us. He justifies us. Hallelujah. He causes us to be holy and without blame. You're not that in yourself through acts that you can do in physical time. Because everything we do here is just temporary. It's subject to change. Think about it. The things you believe today are a lot different than what you believed in times past, because we all evolve and change. But do you know what doesn't change? Word of God stays the same. It doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So holiness is imputed or transferred to us via Christ's shed blood, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. His resurrection. And all that was before time. The death was before time. The burial was before time. His birth was before time. And his resurrection was before time. You know what? He was glorified before time. If you know, you already have been glorified in him. We have just not caught up with it with our consciousness. We haven't gotten up to it. But we too are glorified. And as he is, so are we, even to this moment. So Christ is our propitiation or our acceptable sacrifice. And that's what we've been taking in account here. You know, it's important for us to understand the ancients. We all need to know about the ancients. That's what we should be studying. And what are the ancients we're talking about? Some of them are salvation, election, reconciliation, excuse me, redemption, justification, sanctification, predestination, and adoption. All those things are things we need to capitalize on and major in. Not the minor things about what you wear and whether or not your hair is cut, whether or not it's long, whether or not you got on stockings or you got your toes out. Those things are all temporary in time. And you know what? At the bottom line, at the end, don't mean a pill of beans. When we were teaching and preaching those things, we weren't taking into account the vastness of the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we think it's just us and our little group. We have the truth. Everybody else is missing God and going to hell. But that's not true. When I was told those things, I didn't hardly believe it. I couldn't say it out loud sometimes, but I didn't believe it because I thought about people in Africa and in some of the third world countries who didn't have shoes at all, or they might not have had a dress at all. So if they were elected to be in the body of Christ, were they not saved because they didn't dress a certain way? So you got to keep in mind the contingencies that we put on people are just that. There are contingencies. We have liberty in Christ. And we're not to judge others. Hallelujah. You know, we always want to look at our neighbor and talk about the little speck he got in his eye, and we got a beam in our eye. You know, when I talk, I have problems, and being married 40 years ain't easy. Some of y'all been married 50 years. It ain't easy. 45, ain't easy. I got a lot of sisters in there shaking and clapping. You know, God graced them to stay with them brothers, and their brothers were graced to stay. But, you know, when I would have problems with William, and I go praying about it, I say, oh, Lord, you know, you got to do something about William. You know who the Lord spoke to me about? Karen. You know, so I'm saying that to say to you, if you're having difficulties on your job, look at yourself. If you're having difficulties with your neighbors, look at yourself. If you're having problems with your family and friends, look at yourself, because you are the common denominator in all of those different situations I just outlined. It's you. So look at yourself. And I always say to myself, what is that in me seeing that in them? You know, we're suspicious of people, we falsely accuse people, and we judge. But what's that in you? You know, times past we had incidents with the big teller preachers, and they were on, and some of them got caught doing some scandalous things, still getting caught doing scandalous things, right? And when you hear people, and they're so down on people, not showing any grace, not showing any love, not showing any compassion, usually there's something in their closet that they hide. They got a skeleton or two. Yeah, they got something that they, you know, we had one, and he was just, oh, my God, he's sending this brother to hell. And I told my husband, I said, there is no reconciliation, no love, no forgiveness. Even in the scriptures in Corinthians where the man was going with his mother, and that happened in the Bible. That's the Bible. In Corinthians, they were a carnal bunch. And this guy was going with his stepmother. And Paul told him, put him out. Get him out of the church. But then when they got it straightened up, he said, bring him back. Restoration. And we need to think in terms of that in our daily living and in our relationships. We want to restore people. We want people to be in right relationship with God. Because if it weren't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be. Why can't we show the same grace to others that we want to receive? The same forgiveness to others that we want to be forgiven for? Yeah, that's what being Christ-like is. Reflecting his love and his mercy and his compassion to others. By understanding the ancients, you understand who you are in Christ and that you're able to walk by faith and not by sight. Now we go to Colossians, because you know I follow Ephesians with what? Colossians. Yeah. So turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 to 9. And can you please read it in the Greek as well as the King James?
Now from the book of Colossians, or the letter of Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, first from the King James Version. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him.
Amen.
which is the head of all principality and power. Now from the interlinear Greek text. Because in him dwells each and every of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are in him having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Completeness in Christ. Your life is completed in Christ in God in the eternal now, in eternity before the foundation of the world. You know, we think God is making daily decisions, but he's not. Yeah. Our lives were completed in the original decree, one saying, everything was done. God said in the beginning, and everything was done. God said let it be, and everything was done. So consequently, there are no accidents or coincidences or happenstances, and you ain't just lucky. Yeah. Sometimes we think, I'm so lucky. No, you're not. You're so blessed. Why? Because you were blessed in eternity before the foundation of the world. It's not an accident you are who you are. God intended that to be. So wherever you are in life, whatever station, whatever's going on, this is God's will according to his eternal plan. And it came, whatever it is that's coming, to pass. And you win. Yes, you do. You win. He said he's made us more than conquerors. So you win. So whatever's coming, don't fret. Walk by faith. Hold on to the side of the boat. Because God has your back and you win. So those are things we have to keep in mind. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Yeah, God is good. God is good. I'm speaking from our document, which is the eternal comprehension of now. And I've been on this for several weeks, and this is the conclusion. I know some of y'all said, when's she going to get off that? Well, today is the last day. This is eternal comprehension of now. It's from Sunday's Pastor's 10, June 6th through June 6, 2015. Hence, the inquiry is, who are those loving or caused to love in the present now? It's referencing those who profess emotional relationships with God, who is exemplified through their flesh. No, it's not talking about them. Accordingly to scripturally enlightened conveyances outlined in eternal context, the ever more informed expression reveals that it is thoroughly understood that natural humankind in the flesh, in the present now, are dead in sin to God. And we already talked about that. The Bible says all have sinned. Everybody say all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can't take any credit. Okay? Thus, the sole initiation of the relationship was established in the eternal now. And that comes from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We reference that. I like to use that as an example because many times people don't understand why we use the King James as well as the Greek interlinear text to exegete scriptures or to explain scriptures. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 in the King James, it reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. But the original text, the Greek text, reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period. It has no condition about how you walk or whether or not you're following the flesh or the Spirit. It says that we are completed in Christ and that there is no condemnation because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us and continues to cleanse us continuously. So we're constantly being washed. The Holy Spirit is constantly pouring out his love upon us so that we can be who he intends us to be. So there is no condition. See, when you start putting conditions on our life in Christ, we nullify grace. Grace is unmerited favor. You are picked, chosen, elected because of him, not because of you, not because you gave the preacher your hand, not because you were baptized, not because you spoke in tongues. All these things are works of the flesh. And if we feel we're doing something, then we got to keep doing something. And if we can't do it, we're going to make up that we do it. Because, you know, some folks lie. I know y'all don't think people lie, but they do. Some of them do. Teachers, doctors, so on. We go on. Everybody. Because everybody has sinned. So you don't add anything to it. And if you do, you are nullifying grace. We're saved by grace alone. Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. This is predetermined based on the love of God. in his original decree. He restored his beloved into fellowship with him. And we reference, and I want you to just make notation of it, Romans chapter 9 and 11, Ephesians chapter 1 and 11, and 2 Timothy 1 and 9. A component of this entails God and his sovereign works, having called, chosen us unto him by means of the Holy Spirit, and we reference Colossians 3:15. In this sense, Romans 8:28 referencing rendered call ones of having been called, constituting those that are called to love God. You don't just love God on your own. He causes you to love him. He calls you to come unto him. Otherwise, we wouldn't pray. Otherwise, we wouldn't do anything. God causes us because of his grace and mercy, and we thank him for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1:9, it talks about our lives are according to his divine will and purpose. You are not an accident. Everything that's coming is coming because he is sending it. And we're going to also reference Pastor's Pen. And, you know, I love the Pastor's Pen. They're short, concise, you know, and I love speaking from them. We're referencing the Pastor's Pen, Receive One Another in Love, and that's dated Sunday, July 5th, 2015. And we're doing that for our worldwide web audience. Many of them go to internet cafes. Sometimes they walk 2 and 3 miles to hear our morning messages and to reference our documents that are on the internet. And we appreciate that. So I'm giving them that reference so they can look it up. One of the greatest testimonies of the oneness of the church is emphasized by the need for all God's people, regardless of their diverse backgrounds and heritage, to receive or accept one another as those who are loved by God and are therefore precious. This is both desirable and necessary for unity in Christ, both because of the fact that all are called into one, regardless of the fact that as individuals we have differences in time. And we reference 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 to 13, verses 11 and 18, and Romans chapter 15 and 7, which states, Wherefore you receive one another, even as Christ also received you unto the glory of God. Here the Greek conjunction, rendered wherefore, conveys that because of some previous statements of facts, we God's people are to receive one another. Next, note that the compound Greek phrase rendered receive one another literally denotes to take one's self, to receive as a close associate or partner, or to have nothing in between relationship, as noted in the reciprocal Greek pronoun depicting that each one should take the initiative of receiving the other. Now, we do this sometimes. Yeah. We do it if we think people are important. Yeah. We do it if we think people are professional. Yeah. We do it if we think they look a certain way. Yeah. If they're articulate. Yeah, you know, we all do that. We judge people on the outward. But the scripture tells us the outer man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. It is that inner man who will cause us to love one another. You know, we say, oh, I love. Yeah, we love selectively. Yeah, we do. No, y'all admit, we love selectively. Don't we love selectively? Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. We love if you're doing what I want you to do. But just cross me. Yeah, I'm a good Christian as long as you're doing it my way. But cross me. And right things might happen. Yeah, look at Peter in the scriptures. You know, he told Jesus, I love you. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, I know. He said, but before the cock crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. And then one of those denials, that last one, he got the coffin. Peter got the coffin. And y'all across too. Yeah, you know, I teach parents, and I teach workers, and I tell the parents, I said, now you want the kids to stop cussing, you stop cussing. Yeah, you stop cussing, because they're always going to do what they see you do, not what you tell them to do. So it's important that we receive one another in love. You know, you never know who you are dealing with. You never know who God is sending across your path. You know, they have a story about a woman who Jesus had sent word that she, this is just a story, not the Bible, and she said that they told her, well, Jesus is going to come and he's going to dine at your house today. And she said, oh my God, Jesus the Christ is coming and he's going to dine with me. I got to make sure everything is right. So she's cleaning up and a beggar knocked on the door. She said, ma'am, he said, could you spare me something to eat? She says, I would, but I don't have time now. You got to go somewhere else because Jesus is coming to dine with me. So she sent the beggar on. She shooed him away. One of the kids came and knocked and pulled on her shirt tail. Said, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, you know, I fell and I hurt myself. Can you help me?" "Oh, no, child. You better get in there and clean that wound up yourself and get a Band-Aid and a little mercure cone or something." She said, "Because I'm busy. You can't stop because Jesus is coming. And I'm preparing for Jesus." She got the third knot. The neighbor says, "You know, I don't think I'm feeling well. I wish you could, you know, kind of fix me something." She says, "You know, any other day. Get sick tomorrow." She said, "Because Jesus is coming and I have to prepare for him." So finally, she got everything just right. She's all prepared for Jesus. House all cleaned up and neat and tidy. She had some nice things prepared for him to eat. And 4 o'clock came. No Jesus. 5 o'clock. No Jesus. 6 o'clock. Christ hadn't showed up. Then she finally was very discouraged. And at 7 o'clock, she sat down and she told her husband. She says, "You know, they told me Jesus was coming. And I don't know what happened. I'm so disappointed that Jesus didn't come." So she sat down and she was just sort of contemplating. She had everything all picked up, all fixed up, all her great meal and everything. She's sitting there. And in her heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, "I did come." She said, "You came?" She said, "Didn't I come first as the beggar and you turned me away? Didn't I first come as that child that was hurt and you didn't have no time? I also came the third time as that neighbor that needed some assistance and you were too busy." He said, "I've been to your house 3 times and you shooed me away." Yeah, is that what we do? Give the Lord a hand. He comes in many forms. The Lord is coming to us to help others in many forms. And many times we miss those opportunities of showing Christ to the world. Because we don't have time, or because that person doesn't look like what we like, or smell like what we like, or some other kind of criteria that we've made up. So we need to get away from that. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit has poured His love upon us by the Holy Ghost. That's Romans chapter 5:5. And you know what? It's so important. Can we read that, please? And this is the last one I'm going to have you to read. But Romans 5:5, it says, and Deacon is going to read it for us, in the Greek as well as in the King James, Romans 5:5.
Now we're reading from Romans chapter 5, verse 5, first the King James Version. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now from the interlinear Greek text. "And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through the Holy Spirit given to us."
Amen. That's written in the aorist tense, which is a past completed action, the passive voice. We did not participate. All are eternal acts before time. So God is the one who has caused you to love. If it weren't but for the love of God, we could not love. We by nature are violent. Oh, y'all look at all the violence on TV, all the stuff going on in the world. If God did not hold it back, it would be a lot worse. Because people say oftentimes, "Well, you know, you believe in God." I say, "Yes, I do." "Well, how does he allow all this to happen? Babies being killed and people going hungry and all the catastrophes." If it were not for the love of God, it would be worse. He holds a lot of that back. So we have to praise him for that. This same reasoning is conveyed to describe how strong God's people are to receive less informed ones, and also how God received as chosen to himself such ones, and that's us. And we reference then Romans 14:2 and Romans 14:3. Furthermore, this verb is conveyed in Philemon, whereas Paul states, "If therefore you hold me as a partner, receive him as me." And we're referencing Philemon verse 17. Philemon is a very strange little book. it's only one chapter. It's the whole book of Philemon is one chapter. And to give you a little background of the story, Philemon was a brother in the Lord. He's very wealthy. And he and Paul were buddies. I mean, to the point where Paul says about Philemon, I pray for you always, making mention of you in my prayers. So they were pretty close. And Paul was locked up in prison. And many people were coming and going. Prison there wasn't like prison here. It was all still bad. You're confined. But he had different people coming and seeing him and so on. One of the people that befriended him as he was locked up was a man named Onesimus, who was a former slave, an escaped slave. He didn't get his freedom like he was supposed to. He ran off. And slavery during that time was different than the slavery that they had us in times past in this country. They brought us over here as slaves. And we were perpetual slaves. You know, we had to, there was no indenture servitude for us. We just stayed, you were born a slave, your children were born slaves and so on. And it was generational. But times past, slavery over there during the time of Jesus was not like that. But you still had, you could earn your freedom, you could buy yourself out and so on. But Onesimus was impatient and he just ran off. But the penalty for running off as a slave was death. So, now we have Onesimus befriending Paul, a prisoner, and Paul tells him, listen, you got to go make that thing right with Philemon. He says, but I'm not going to let you. Onesimus didn't want to go. Would you want to go back to slavery? No. But Paul told him, you need to make that right. You go on and take care of that. He said, I'm going to write a letter to him. He's my buddy. And we're going to see if we can get this resolved. And that's what the book of Philemon is about. It's about that reciprocal relationship that Paul wanted to establish between Onesimus the slave and Philemon the slave owner. Philemon mirrors the relationship between believing Jews and Gentiles. In addition, there's no room for discrimination against anyone, regardless of one's characteristics, one's race, one's gender, one's ability or disability, one's profession or non-profession, one's ethnicity, one's culture, one's economic status. We are all one in Christ. And that's what you get from reading Philemon. And we talk about being all one. That's revolutionary. Because back in the day that the Bible was written, they had distinct social lines, and they had distinct classes, and the Jews had nothing to do with the Greeks, and so on and so on. The Greeks might not have had nothing to do with the Sumerians. You could just go on and on with the separations of the races. But in Christ, as members of the body of Christ, we can't afford to do that. We have to be inclusive and not exclusive. And sometimes that's difficult for people. Galatians chapter 3:28, and I'm getting ready to close now, reads in the Greek, the Greek puts it another way. It says, that's where it says there's no difference between male and female. There's no difference between bond or free. There's no difference between circumcised and uncircumcised. We are all one in Christ. But the Greek reads, there cannot be Jew or Greek. There cannot be slave or free man. There cannot be man or woman, male or female. There cannot be that we are all one in Christ. And that's what I want to leave you with the fact that we are all one in Christ. I want you to go with the grace of God, loving those that God has caused to come across your path. You may be the only Jesus that they see. So put aside all that old school thinking of divisions and schisms and me better than you and I cross my T and you don't dot your I and, you know, the separation that goes on amongst the body of Christ and amongst us in the world. Put that aside. Grow in grace. Walk by faith and not by sight. And if you're not walking in love, you can't do it. Viewing life from the vertical plane of our position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to your daily living. Walk by faith, saints, and not by sight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen, amen, amen.